Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, before we get to Almondgeddon, my question is, I have the impression that both you and Kang and probably Kenny are predisposed to just say you hate it. If I like it, you're going to be biased to say you hate it.
I think that's untrue.
I am asking for a honest evaluation of my new favorite snack food.
I think you've given us crap in the past.
I've given you crap?
I mean, to eat.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yes, not about
you don't like the stuff.
And but, he meant literally.
No, I mean, look.
I thought you meant
some of the. I can think of two off the top of my head. Dulse, which was awful. It's like seaweed crap.
So good.
So bad. And the other one was that
the Quest.
The feces.
The Quest bars, the fake Reese's. You guys call them feces. Yeah. Okay. I mean, these are available in gas stations.
So you know it's good.
Which is.
Oh, yeah. You had Gator at gas station.
Hello.
So are you ready?
Yeah.
To try these? Kang, why don't you come in? Kenny, come in. I'll pour out a little bit. I got a fresh tin of the. Oh, here I go with packaging again. All right. I got to open.
Oh, that was a good sound.
Yeah, that's right.
That was worth it.
A fresh tin of almonds.
Kang's getting some almonds there.
I gave you a lot. Do you want your own handful, Kenny?
I'll take my own
handful. Kenny's got a handful. He's going to leave. He's leaving Kang's nuts alone. All right. Thank you.
Okay. These are the Blue Diamond Elote Corn Almonds. I want you.
They smell a little corny, which is good.
Yeah.
I like corn.
So the Elote Mexican Street Corn is one of my favorites, you know. That I like to make in the summer on the grill.
Which is crazy because it usually contains mayonnaise and you hate mayonnaise.
It is true. It is true. And it's mayonnaise, melted butter, and then the.
I'm going in this with an open
cheese.
Mind.
I'm glad.
Because I do like corn. However, I had a couple things with corn that are absolutely horrific.
Okay.
One was a corn whiskey, which is one of the worst things I've ever tasted in my life.
Okay.
The other thing, which I thought was going to be great and really wasn't, was an elote corn dip.
Oh, really?
It was really disappointing.
That's too bad.
I'm willing to try this.
All right, Kang, did you take a whiff?
Yeah.
And?
It's not bad. It smells fine.
All right, Kenny, did you take a smell of those?
You did.
Okay, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, he's up.
He's a little. All right.
He's not against it.
I'd like you guys to try these. Honest evaluation of the elote corn. Flavored almonds from Blue Diamond, my personal new favorite snack.
They're good.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yes. Kang?
Yeah, they're not bad at all.
A little buttery and it's a sweet corn flavor to it.
I'm pleasantly surprised. This is better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So I actually like something that you guys like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try another one.
Hey, I gave you like $1.50 handful. these tins aren't cheap.
You gave me 6.
Is that all you got? Yeah, I got better at pouring them out. I gave Kang
you got
30.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Gator.
So 3 thumbs up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are fine, man.
Yeah, right.
These are fine.
There you go.
I can see it.
Now, do you take back what you said about us earlier?
About what I say about you?
You said that you think we're predispositioned to say that everything you're going to offer up sucks.
I don't know, but I'm glad you like them.
These actually taste like elote corn. Like,
isn't it crazy?
It's weird.
A little bit.
Yep.
These have more flavor than the almonds that you get, the cinnamon almonds at the ballpark.
Well, you hate those.
I don't hate those. I hate the disappointment that comes with it because it's nowhere near as flavorful
so
as you expected them to be.
It is the weirdest thing.
It doesn't match the flavor doesn't match the smell, the aroma. The aroma is fantastic, and then you taste them like there's just not enough flavor.
I go back every year going, I'm going to give them another shot because they smell so good.
These, not only is there an aroma to it, which is fine, it's pleasant, but the taste is good. They're a little back heat too, a little bit of back heat, back of my throat.
A little bit. It actually could even use a little bit more if you like, you know, if you like spicy ones.
Can I have some more?
Sure.
Dude, wow. You know how expensive they are, man.
We'll do it during a commercial break.
Oh.
So you don't, yeah.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. So all those listeners, and we got a bunch of them last week.
Well, yeah, we did.
That did not like them. So are you guys saying that they're wrong?
Doug, do you remember the one caller was like, I promise you, Kang, you'll hate them?
Yes.
And he called us, too, after he texted
called,
us.
Yeah, he texted us and
said no one in his family would eat it.
Yeah, he said he bought a big serving from Costco,
yeah, like
the
Gatorwood.
Big, the giant bag, and nobody in his family.
Yeah. I will tell you this: if next time I go to Costco, I'll look for him.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in Costco. Probably more cost efficient than what
I'm very pleasantly surprised with these.
Awesome. All right, 248-539-9797. Let's get back to your open line calls. Greg is in Dearborn and on 97.1. Hi, Greg.
Yeah, didn't that caller say he basically put $100 of almonds in the trash?
Something,
and you guys all like them. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's
really good.
Yeah, he should have swung by the station.
It's going about the wings. It's been so much fun to watch this turnaround, and the DeBrinket to Raymond connection has just been awesome.
Sure has.
And most cider is just he's just otherworldly. It's so cool. But I can't get past that. Every time I look on the ice, that Hall's out there. It's just an absolute liability. And but I think there's a solution to that. I think we're about a month out from the trade deadline. And there's this rumor going around about Ryan Lindgren from the Rangers. He's just a defenseman, tough. He's like, you know, when you watch a team and you're like, man, I don't know why, but I just can't stand that guy. Like I don't think the Wings have that guy, and he would be that guy for us. But we got to kind of hope that the JT Miller pickup by the Rangers is kind of a swing and a miss. And if the Rangers don't make in the playoffs, I think he's on the trade block.
You know, I think it'd be intriguing to see for sure. The one thing that I said to Gator during the break, just about every team has this. Even contending teams have a player or two that make you cringe a little bit and you think any ice time is too much ice time. But the totality is they're probably playing the best people they have in the organization. And if they can reasonably replace a player that they think is a liability, I'm pretty sure they would do that.
I like what they've done with this team. I think they've made the additions in the offseason that actually are starting to pay off like I thought it would. I thought that this team was going to be better defensively than they were last year because the goaltending was better, and I thought some other additions of getting more defensive type guys, letting go some of the offensive guys. Yeah, you're going to lose a lot of goals because a lot of that to make up, but defensively you should be better, and they aren't now with the 11 goals in the last seven games that the goaltenders have given up. It's proven to be better. When you see the top two pairings, you got Sider and Sherratt they look great together. And now Edvinson and Johansson together. That's great. And now in that third pairing, Gustafson is one of those free agent pickups you had in the offseason that looks good on this team.
Pistons beat the Bulls yesterday. They are back over 500. Tonight, they are actually tied for the sixth spot. Tonight, they've got the Atlanta Hawks. They've got a trade deadline coming up on Thursday. Doesn't look like they're getting your guy Zach LaVine, Kang.
Yeah, they didn't even get the third team action on that, which is surprising. I thought at least, I mean, I never thought they were going to get Zach LaVine, but I thought at the least they're probably going to be the middleman, you know, help facilitate a trade, and they weren't even that.
Well, they still are one of the few teams that can have some flexibility to make a trade with some cap space that doesn't have to pay, you know, any luxury tax. But at this point, can they make a move? Well, a local writer put out four potential options for the Pistons ahead of the NBA trade deadline. One is a name that I brought up last week. Like to see a deal go down. We'll get to that today at 1:20. Plus your open line calls mixed in. Hey, just a reminder, You can stream the show using the Odyssey app. Download it for your mobile device today, AUDACY. I've seen some feedback coming in from around the country, mostly about the Myles Garrett possibility. Is it something that could go down? We've been discussing it now that he has requested a trade publicly. Again, get the Odyssey app for your mobile device, AUDACY. Then you can listen to the show anywhere in the United States. Same thing through our website, 971theticket.com, where the Birch Kid and Evan are responsible for great content. Also, streaming a video, go to twitch.tv and youtube.com. Numbers went up as people watch you guys try and give approval to Blue Diamond Elote almonds. I'm stunned and I'm happy. I actually feel proud.
All right, relax.
Not complete rejection. I'm not used to this.
Validation.
It is Carson Anderson. And we'll get to more of your phone calls and feedback next. 97.1 The Ticket.
Look, there's some horror stories that can go out right around this time of the year, right? If your furnace goes out, middle of winter, you don't want that to happen. God forbid you have a pipe burst or something like that. What do? Who do you call? Here's what you do. Here's who you call. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. You call the expert technicians over there because they know exactly what they're doing. They're going to get your 2025 started with some peace of mind. You don't just take my word for it, even though I'll tell you. They've come to my house a couple times over the last few years and diagnosed the problem, fixed the problem like that. These guys are awesome, and this is why I talk about them. There's a reason you see the red, white, and blue trucks everywhere with the logo on its side. People have problems. They have the solutions. Give them a call today. They've got the A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. They've got five-star reviews all over Google. So whether it's your furnace, your water heater, a boiler, or water filtration, schedule an appointment online at BirminghamPlumbingCO.com. Birmingham Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, your Metro Detroit boiler experts.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797.
Kind of stingy with those almonds.
Oh, sorry. I forgot. I'll get you some next.
Sorry.
I'll get you some next.
I see what you're doing.
Next commercial break.
Doug, he's like the squirrel you feed one time at the door, you know, and then they just
keep showing up.
Yep, exactly.
I'm sorry he offered him.
Yeah, like
actually,
I said.
Actually, I asked.
Yeah, I offered him once. Yeah. You've asked for more.
I did ask
for more. And I don't mind. I don't mind. Hey, the first hit, maybe the second hit's free, but after that, you have to make the financial investment that is the Blue Diamond almonds because these things aren't cheap.
Good. They're really good.
I'm very pleased.
Kind of want to know what that seasoning is so that you can make them yourself, right?
Yeah, I've taken the regular old almonds and
I've done that.
Yep.
Put some cinnamon on them.
Bake them in the oven.
Yeah.
Sure. All right, so lots going on. All of a sudden, you got a Red Wing team that can't lose. You got a Piston team that's back at 500, north of 500 and back tied for the sixth spot. You got the Tigers making a very encouraging signing of Jack Flaherty. We await an Alex Bregman decision. We've got Champ and Chump. We've got shock and disbelief on an NBA trade. And we've got Myles Garrett requesting a trade out of Cleveland. Wow. 248-539-9797. Feedback coming in on the Lions. Why is nobody talking about Za'Darius Smith coming back as a player opposite of Hutchinson for next year? And we keep talking about the possibilities of others. Myles Garrett, no thanks, would cost too much. That's from Rob in a tiny truck.
Well, I mean, that'll be the consolation when they don't get Myles Garrett, right? That's how we'll console each other. Well, hey, we got Za'Darius Smith coming back. Za'Darius Smith, I think, is a fine player. But, I mean, come on. There's a major difference between what Za'Darius Smith offers you and what Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett's a defensive player of the year.
Well, his point is you got one for no additional salary, and you got the other one for a price and additional salary. But, yes.
Yeah, but the guy, no additional salary, didn't do a ton.
So, no, but what if he's opposite Aiden Hutchinson?
Well, surely the numbers should improve. But I was disappointed because I thought we were going to see more from him as a pass rusher, knowing that Hutch was out.
Well, what would you realistically want opposite of Aiden Hutchinson out of anybody that's returning? If Hutch gets back to form, the other edge rusher, any in-house edge rusher, what is a goal for, like, number of sacks?
Opposite Hutch? Hutch at full season? I mean, anybody that they already have in house?
Yep.
So Za'Darius Smith, I would hope that he can get double digits, get to 10.
So last year he played 8 games in Detroit and had 4 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a realistic goal if you play a full season.
And I suppose it's realistic, and yet in games I watched.
Understood.
Which was every game.
Yep.
You just didn't see it.
Well,
I mean, yeah, the number is there. Sure, he had 4 sacks in the 8 games, but was he a complete no-show in the playoff game? Yeah, he was a complete no-show. He had a pass defended when he dropped into coverage and knocked a pass down. But outside of that, you know, no, just didn't see a ton.
I mean, I think one of the things that I try to do is, okay, realistically, it would be great to have all pro performers at every position. But realistically, it's not possible. So we're kind of at a spot here where at some positions you have to try and save money. You can't have a $20 million player at every position. So where can you get away with not breaking the bank and not pursuing an elite player? Can you afford 2 player of the year candidates, 1 at each edge rusher? Maybe short term.
Well, how about this? How about having them both? Za'Darius Smith is here, and I get Myles Garrett. Okay, that works.
Right.
And last year, he played with Myles Garrett for the first, you know, 8 games of the season, 9 games of the season. 8, I guess. And he had a handful of sacks in that time?
We were talking
5 sacks.
He finished last year with 9 overall in 17 games.
Yeah. 4 with the Lions, and he had 5 with the... I'm sorry. I'm looking at it. Yeah, no, I have it
no,
right.
No, he could be a double-digit sack guy, and that's an acceptable Robin to Hutch being Batman.
Yeah, but thinking about 2 guys who's the way that they get after the passer,
I think the pressure rate? The caller's point, or the texter's point, I think, is if it's not affordable, it doesn't mean they're doomed. They've got another guy over there that is under contract that could be a pretty productive player for them, and I think it's valid. Because the truth is, as much as we can talk about this, if you had to bet right now, are they getting Myles Garrett?
No.
No, I would say the same thing.
That's what I said. It's a consolation prize. I'm fine with it. This is the consolation prize. It's going to be disappointing because you'd like them to go out and get the obvious player that makes sense, but if the price is too high to pay, then you don't do it. If there are other, we've talked about the factors about having to sign into a long-term contract, what it means to disrupting the rest of your roster because you're not going to have to be able to sign everybody in making sacrifices here and understanding where it is. But a football world that has Myles Garrett and Aiden Hutchinson on the same team.
Scary.
Is unbelievable.
If you can make it work, great. If not, there's still ways for this team to win. 248-539-9797.
Well, it's crazy because before when we shut down like Max Crosby talk, because there was like, it was just coming out of nowhere. People just wanted to dream that up.
Yeah.
Now Myles Garrett has come out and publicly said, I want to get traded. So now we can actually kind of talk about it, even if all 3 of us don't think it's going to happen.
Yep.
Za'Darius Smith is a consolation prize here. I mean, we have to see what he's like with someone opposite him, right? He played with the Lions last year, and Hutch was out.
He played with Myles Garrett.
Yeah, and he was better when he had Myles Garrett on the opposite side. Imagine him here with Hutch on the opposite side. Because there was times when he was with the Lions, right? He didn't play every single snap. You kind of wonder where he was, but I think he obviously... Breaking news, he's probably a lot better when there's someone strong on the other side. But yeah, I think it's you have to talk about it. You have to wonder, is it worth giving up, you know, draft picks, maybe a player or two, and to see what it would be like with 2 studs like Hutch and Garrett. I mean, the league, people always try to get the bookend guys, but I don't think anyone's ever seen a pairing like Hutch and Garrett.
248-539-9797. All right, we'll get to your phone calls in a sec. Detroit news story, we mentioned it before the break. 4 potential options for the Pistons ahead of the NBA trade deadline from the Detroit News, Cody M. Davis. Malcolm Brogdon was one. Colin Sexton was one. Lonzo Ball was one. And Brandon Ingram was one. I mean, all of those guys make you better. I probably want Brogdon the least. Although he's listed as the best option, given his age and salary. I'm a Colin Sexton fan. I don't know if I particularly want Lonzo Ball. Brandon Ingram would be a yes, please.
When you say no about Lonzo Ball, is that strictly because of his father?
No, but it doesn't help. Can any of those names stand out to you?
He's never lost, right?
Never.
Undefeated. Do they stand out? What stands out is I think that the league thinks that the Pistons need someone else to handle the ball. Mm-hmm. Like Cade can't be the only guy. Like since they lost Ivy, he's had to even have the ball even more in his hands. Sasser is more of like a scoring point than he is, you know, like bringing the ball up the court and facilitate type guy. So if the Pistons do make a move, it looks like, hey, let's get Cade some help as far as bringing the ball up the court, facilitating. Because right now, Cade is dependent. I mean, the Pistons are so dependent on him carrying the load for this team offensively. That's why I wanted to go out and kind of get a big name. I understand, you know, you don't want to force anything, but the market might have been there. But maybe now it's gone. They're not going to be out on Jimmy Butler or any type of player like that. So it is probably going to be a smaller move like this. And I'm not against it. Like I said, I think you need to help your star. And whatever that is in the short term, because I think it's important for this team not only to make a playoffs but win a series, I think it helps the psyche of these young guys a lot.
248-539-9797. Let's get back to your open line calls. Drew, you're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Drew.
Morning, guys. Good afternoon.
What's up?
You know, I just don't see how you can't do everything possible to get Myles Garrett. We know that teams all the time have to make moves like this to win championships. Look at the NFL landscape. If you go, you're going to have to probably beat Allen or Mahomes or Jackson. You're going to have to beat Saquon and the Eagles. We have to make a counter move to counter what other teams are doing, because staying complacent and not making a move like this, I know, we'll be good no matter what. But we're not here to just be good. We need to win a Super Bowl. And what, I think it's like $20 million over the next 2 years. You won't find a better bargain. Two first-round picks for the next 2 years of Myles Garrett, and you are immediately probably the best defense in the NFC.
Do you think they can win the NFC without Myles Garrett?
I think they have a lot better of a chance with Myles Garrett.
Well, but unquestionably, yes, yeah. There's no doubt, but I guess the point is, if you think you can win the Super Bowl and it's not a pipe dream, one of the things you're probably giving up on if you get Myles Garrett is you probably are creating a window that will close. And don't forget now, again, I'm in favor of this and I'm in favor of pursuing it, but sort of the way that you put it, you have to do this. I think the argument against it is, we think we're good enough to win it now. We're going to add, but it's not going to cost us nearly as much. And we're going to keep making runs at Super Bowls because we're putting together a sustainable model. Getting Myles Garrett actually will eventually close a window for us, and we're not interested in doing that. Now, if you believe Myles Garrett and there's no other way about it, you're going to go get him no matter what, then you don't want to hear any of that. But that might be Brad Holmes thinking on this. More your phone calls and feedback coming up. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. The football season may be over, but the sports action never stops at Twin Peaks. It's a great time to be alive for Detroit sports fans. Detroit hockey and basketball teams are in the middle of a playoff hunt. Watching their games has become enjoyable again. And what makes those games even better? Well, enjoying them at Twin Peaks. It's beyond just a great sports bar. They serve up great draft beer. They serve up big, big chicken wings. Their draft beer system pours your favorite drafts at a teeth-chattering 29 degrees into a mug that's been freezing for at least 6 hours and is only used once a day. They boast an extensive bar with all your favorite bourbons and tequilas, as well as handcrafted cocktails that, well, they rival a speakeasy. Now, pair that with a scratch kitchen serving up dishes like New York cut strips, hand-breaded and fried to order boneless wings and tenders, salmon, trout, and smashed and seared burgers. And what takes it to the next level? The beautiful Twin Peaks girls serving it all up. Talk about the ultimate man cave, wall-to-wall TVs, amazing food and drinks. Beautiful and personable Twin Peaks girls. Why go anywhere else? And if you are staying home for the big game Sunday, be sure to call Twin Peaks to enhance your party. They got wings, and more wings available for your party to take home. Call today. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Brandon in Detroit. You're on 97.1. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, Brandon. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Just wanted to chop in about this Myles Garrett situation.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest issue, us as football fans, we always speak on, we need this one player that'll change the game. Myles Garrett definitely will be one of the greatest additions alongside Aiden Hutchinson. But if it caused us to lose Kirby Joseph or even somebody as simple as Jack Campbell, why make the trade? We just need someone serviceable that won't affect our long haul.
So and I just want to
Myles
understand
Garrett
this.
Would do it.
So you would rather have Kirby Joseph or Jack Campbell than Myles Garrett?
No, definitely not saying that. I'm just saying if I'm going to lose someone that got 9 interceptions in a year versus someone that's almost 30 years old, or if not, he might be 30, to sit alongside Aiden Hutchinson, re-sign Za'Darius Smith. He gave us four sacks in 8 games, gave us 9 total over the course of a season. That's all you need, someone on alongside of Aiden Hutchinson to get you another 9-10 sacks a game. Let Aiden Hutchinson be a phenom, and you set your defense up to win in the long haul.
So, Brandon, I tend to agree with you more than not. We're going to when we've a couple of the calls we've taken are I think foolish in that they're starting to border on making the argument that the only path to the Super Bowl is through signing Myles Garrett. If you trade for Myles Garrett, if you trade for Myles Garrett, it is a hell of a wow move depending on what the return is. If I'm in Cleveland and I'm doing Browns radio here, I am asking for the sun and the moon and the sun again to before I'm giving up Myles Garrett. That doesn't mean I'm going to get it, but that's what I'm asking for. And all it takes is one other team to give you that, and then you're out of the deal. Detroit would be out of the deal if they're not willing to do it. But this team was a Super Bowl contender and a strong Super Bowl contender without Myles Garrett before everybody got hurt. And even then, they were still a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
So
yeah. If you get 2 firsts and a third, cool. Draft picks, we're done with. This draft pick has to be the one to change the face of our franchise. We're over that. We need complementary players in depth. So if you can give up two firsts and a third, fine, give it away. But trying to sacrifice one of our actual core players that are young, heck no.
Well, the thing about it is, you're right, because you're talking about, hey, they can still win a Super Bowl. They got a great chance to win a Super Bowl without making this trade, and they're not going all in for 1 year. They're going to be able to keep doing it. But, are you better with Myles Garrett even if it closes the window next year? Yeah, and that's a decision that people have to make. Some people say, do it. Absolutely. I'd do it. Others are saying, I think they're good enough to win a Super Bowl and don't have to make that move. And that's kind of where the category I'd fall in. For the right price, I'd do it. For the right price.
Even if they don't add Myles Garrett, they're probably going to be right up there with the two people in the Super Bowl right now as far as odds-on favorites to win the Super Bowl next year.
Yep.
Because you're going to get all those guys back, right, including Hutchinson. So this would be kind of an over-the-top type move. But then again, you have to also, think about, well, who do they lose right now, right away, if they make a move like this? Do you lose a Jack Campbell right away? Do you lose a Kirby Joseph or a Brian Branch or a Jameis?
Carlton Davis ain't coming back is a possibility.
Yep.
Well, if I'm going to lose Carlton Davis, but I add Myles Garrett, I think I'll take that, because I think what the pass rush can do. I mean, you got to look at how it works. Okay, having great corners is awesome. Having the pass rush is more important to me, because they force the quarterback to throw the ball before he's ready to.
I think the bridge too far is if you lose Kirby and Carlton to make this work. Then I'm like, you're talking about really thinning out the secondary, giving Terrion Arnold CB1 status, which he might be able to get it done, but then you're getting into a lot of ifs back there. But I would rather come back getting Carlton Davis back and taking a run at this thing with a healthy roster. But we all have the line that we wouldn't cross. Rich is in Detroit and he's next. Hi, Rich.
What's up, fellas?
Hey.
So, Window. Well, the Lions have lost two successive bids to go to the Super Bowl, focusing on keeping this window thing and being very arrogant about the way that they were going to build this team. We're going to do it our way and our way, period. And their way was to neglect putting someone opposite of Hutch that would have built the D-line the way that you have to have a D-line in order to win a Super Bowl.
What do you mean now, by neglect? What do you mean by neglect?
Because at the trade deadline, not this year, last season, it was clear what they needed to do. They needed to add a D lineman and maybe even another cornerback, and they did neither. And that blew a Super Bowl opportunity with the loss to the 49ers. I mean, I think if they had somebody, if they had a Zadarius or somebody opposite Hutch, people were clamoring for Garrett then. If they had somebody then, they'd have went further. They didn't do it in the offseason.
But the players, I guess you go back to that trade deadline a year ago, the players that were available at the defensive end were Young and Sweat. Yeah. And Sweat, you would have had to sign to the contract, so that kind of took him out. And then Chase Young wasn't an impact player.
Whoever it was,
but that's
Vader,
who was available. That's what I'm saying, Rich, is
done, and they did nothing.
But that's who
so
was available.
So you would have rather done something that didn't work than not do anything.
No. I think if they did something and you had a real player opposite Hutch, I think it would have worked.
The problem I have, Rich, with this call is you insult them right away, call it arrogance, and now you're criticizing them for a trade that you have no idea what was actually available.
Okay, but wait a minute. They came. They didn't do it at the trade deadline. They didn't do it in
the
offseason.
They didn't do what? You don't know.
Another integral player opposite Hutch.
You don't know what was available and what wasn't.
I mean, okay, so you're assuming then that nothing would have been available.
No, I'm not assuming that nothing was available. I'm assuming that the player that San Francisco traded for, which did very little and he got released right away, and another player that needed money before he signed, which would have cost the Lions somebody potentially this year that they didn't want to do, I'm okay with them not doing that.
And what they did in the offseason, they didn't address the defensive end spot, but what they did do what they did was address the secondary, which was another monster issue with the team, right?
They did.
They went out and got Carlton Davis. They got two draft picks, and they went out and they went all three routes: free agency, drafts, and trade with Amik Robertson as well.
But check this out. What happened was when this trade deadline came, see, by not doing it at last trade
this trade deadline comes and they go out and they get the defensive end.
No. See, when you had Hutch, you needed one really good end to go with him. Once Hutch goes down and they go and get Zadarius, you knew they were going to come
up. They did
up
sign a free agent defensive end.
Two ends.
They did sign a defensive end in free agency.
That's true.
Marcus Davenport got hurt. Look, if your point is, because it sounds like, I'm sorry, but I'm pretty comfortable with Brad Holmes calling the shots here. I think they're set up to win for a long time. I can't believe we're revisiting the 2023 trade deadline now. Speaking of trades, the Tigers just made one. We will get to that today at 1:46 here on Carson Anderson. 97.1, the ticket.
Hey, so this time of the year, it is really cold outside. We know this. And if your garage door is making some weird noise, if it's squeaking, if you're not even sure it's going to make it through the next time you hit the clicker to open it up, you've got to call Precision Garage Door Service. These guys are amazing. They'll come out to the house. They'll assess any problem you have, because with this cold, it can really wreak havoc on your garage doors. You got the springs and rollers, any of those moving parts, they can break when the temperature drops, and the temperature is going to drop again significantly in the next couple of days. So do what I did. Schedule an appointment. You can do it online. It's great over at precisiondoormi.com, or you can pick up the phone and give them a call. 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR. Again, it's 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR or online at precisiondoormi.com.
was kind of hoping the previous caller was going to bring it full circle in some way. But he was really hung up on them not making a move at the trade deadline 2 years ago. And I don't know what we're going to accomplish relitigating that. They're in a very healthy situation. If that is something you don't think they'll ever overcome, then I guess, or as he put it, wasted two seasons because they didn't make a move 2 years ago. I'm always hesitant to be super as critical as he was when we really don't know what was and what wasn't actually offered and on the table. Those players were made available. Sweat obviously required a contract, and Chase Young, I think it's been proven over time, hasn't really been worth it. But hey, man, he obviously had his belief that they've wasted two seasons now because they didn't add last offseason or last trade deadline, not the 2024 trade deadline, but the 2023 trade deadline. Meanwhile, the Tigers have made a move. They've moved Alex Fiedo, a player that they designated for assignment, and they trade him to the Tampa organization for a unranked 20-year-old switch hitting catcher named Anderson Delgado, who's coming off a big winter in Australia. That's the best I can find.
No, it was not a big winner in Australia. He only hit hit 204.
One of them was a grand slam.
Okay. Two home runs and 11 RBIs in those 31 games. But what he did last year in the organization for Toronto between A-ball and rookie ball is for Tampa is he had a 782 OPS and he's 20 years old. So you start looking at what the Tigers had. Jose Briseño was a catching prospect who hurt his knee last year, and now they've said he's no longer going to be a catching prospect. He's going to be a first baseman DH type, and that's what he played when he moved up to high A ball and then played in the Arizona Fall League and was outstanding. So did that create a spot where they need to get another catcher, another young catcher? Well, you got a 20-year-old in Briseño, now you got a 20-year-old in Delgado, who they just got. So maybe this is all this is, replacing somebody on the roster. They had waived Fiedo anyway. So Fiedo's time with the Tigers is done. Does he have some major league ability? He does. Tigers have like another five pitchers just like Fiedo. So why not move
this
on?
This feels a little bit like we're going to need somebody to catch our pitchers at single A.
Right.
And so we do need to field a team down there.
Well, I mean, he did hit in Charleston last year. He hit 255 with a 773 OPS. The numbers were okay, but he's 20 years old. So that's pretty good for a 20-year-old. I don't know if there's any future for him or not. What was clear is that there was no future for Fiedo. And what sucks about that is this is a former first-round pick. Yep. That sucks that it didn't work out.
248-539-9797. Dave is next. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Okay, Dave.
Good. I'm a longtime Lions fan. I've watched them from growing up as a kid, Barry Sanders, to now, right? And now, back then, when I used to see certain names on the TV that's coming up for trade opportunities, I used to get excited. But it feels like, and y'all guys probably agree with this or disagree, the culture of the Lions is, if it's out there, if it makes sense, we'll get it. We heard Brad Holmes say that for years on years. But I think what he's going to probably do, as we all know he's probably going to do, is he's going to go draft, right? He loves to get young talent from the draft, get within. If they're asking for something crazy, he probably won't get it. You know, he probably won't even go out there to get them because he builds off the culture of the people he has, right? Last year was tough because we had all the injuries, but I think it showed us of what kind of talent they do have on the team where they're okay with going ahead and getting some names that we don't know just to continue to build them up. So I would love to get Myles Garrett, but honestly, I think he's going to probably pass on it and go get somebody else deeper in the draft where 2 years from now we could be like, hey, remember that kid from drafted third round? That kid is freaking awesome. Where'd he come from? So that's my take on it. Big fan of the show, guys. Well, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
I think you're more right than wrong, Dave. I mean, if you look at his pattern and you look at the things that Brad Holmes has established that he likes to do, then, yeah, I think that the more likely scenario is that Brad Holmes, who covets his draft picks, loves his draft picks, and has success with his draft picks is less likely to want to give them up to make a move like this. Does that mean he wouldn't consider it? I hope he would consider it. I really, really hope he would consider it.
Well, I also don't know if he's this is the first time he's been in this position where he's had this good team, now back-to-back division championships, and he's no longer rebuilding or building up the team. Now you're hoping to sustain and continue moving forward and find those players that make you a special team.
You know what it feels like to me, though? It feels to me like he is eyeing down the probability that he's going to have to let players go that he doesn't want to have to let go. That's just the way the cap works.
No, there are players that he drafted,
and,
yeah.
And so he is saving. I think it's his pattern to his approach is more likely to be, I'm going to save these draft picks because I got to replenish my roster with cheap players. Otherwise, I'll lose even more. And this is how I sustain it. And this is when he said last week, I found it really, really interesting when he said, I don't believe in windows, meaning I don't believe that the window ever has to shut. Hope he's right. And I hope they can pull that off and keep the window open for as long as possible. But you have to win Super Bowls. It's just like everything else. You have to win a Super Bowl. I shouldn't say Super Bowls. You have to win a Super Bowl to justify doing it your way. If he never does, and it eventually runs out of steam and you become the 2006 to 2014 Detroit Tigers, that's the agony of coming close and the long drought will continue. But I am far from thinking that that is the logical conclusion here. I think an analysis of this roster and where it stands, they're in good shape.
Well, one thing's going to be for sure over the next few weeks, it's going to be really interesting to watch and see, you know, what teams are interested. I don't know if I can't imagine that you're going to be trading him. If you've got Myles Garrett, if you're Cleveland, you're trading him right away. You know, let's play out a little bit. Or do you want to get it done before free agency starts?
Do you wait to the trade or to the draft rather?
I mean, you've got the second overall pick in the draft. And it's quite possible that Abdul Carter will be sitting right there for you, the best pass rusher in the draft. Is he Myles Garrett good? He's pretty good. I don't know if he's Myles Garrett good, but he'll have the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, looking at this draft, who's the team with the quarterback that they believe in that might be looking to make a splash? Could New England at 4 and Vrabel want to say we believe in Drake May? We'll add Myles Garrett. What's a team near the top that has somebody else's pick that might say we could, like, I tell you what the Armageddon scenario is. I do not want him in Chicago. I do not want him in
Myles
Chicago.
Garrett?
Yeah.
No, I don't want him in Chicago. I don't want him in Green Bay. I don't want him in Minnesota.
Another team that I think it might make a move for him, and I guess I'd have to look at the cap ramifications, but I think they have a high enough draft pick where their talent is, they're closer than their draft pick indicates, is San Francisco. I don't want him in San Francisco. But I'd have to take a look at their cap situation and see if that would make sense. But those would be two. Again, I really, really don't want those scenarios to be.
Yeah, I understand.
So, anyway, Tigers make a move today. Alex Fiedo for minor league catcher named Anderson Delgado from Tampa. I will say this. Anytime Tampa is willing to make a trade with you, I tend to think, oh, crap. Tampa.
I tend to agree with that, but we've seen Fiedo. He's okay. He's nothing that they don't have already in stock with the Tigers. And like I said, he was already designated for assignment, and nobody picked him up. So they're getting a 20-year-old switch-hitting catcher. I don't even want to say he's a prospect, but it's somebody in their organization. We'll see if they can develop him and look down the road, whatever. I suspect you're going to see Fiedo pitching for Tampa. Mm-hmm. And did you give him away for nothing? I mean, you tried just letting him go, which literally was getting for nothing, and now you got something. So
well, might be time to get.
I always thought that was your boy, Gator.
Alex Fiedo?
Yeah.
I like Fiedo. Hmm. But, I mean, how many Fiedos do you need on the roster?
Okay. True.
They still have several Fiedos on the roster.
That is Rico Beard. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just getting over the shock. I'm not the Grammy person, so. Mike was like, hey, did you see this Kanye thing? Yeah.
Oh, with...
just watched a video with him and his girlfriend or wife, Bianca.
Showing up with no clothes?
Yeah.
Walking the red carpet completely naked, like nothing but shoes?
Like, whose idea is this?
I thought of coming into work that way today, but...
And you thought
was,
better.
It was too cold, so I did. I decided
no, no. to wear clothes. Do I look fat in this outfit? Nah, you're rocking it.
That's so weird.
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. What are we doing today, before you ask? A perspective on the Luka trade that happened, plus learning to love again, Detroit style.
Have a great show. Stay safe, everyone, and treat each other with respect. 97.1.